Hello, and welcome to the Untitled Female Driven Podcast. We are three film and television writers who are here to talk about how to make it as professional writers in the entertainment industry. This podcast covers what we wish we'd known when we were getting started. You can learn the easy way what we learned the hard way. I'm Hannah Rosner. I mostly write for television.
I'm Jess Cho. I mostly write for television as well.
I'm Erica Schreiber, and I'm someone who writes features.
This is a very special episode because we are all together.
All together!
Recording in person!
Guys, woo-hoo! This is the first time that Jess and Hannah have been in the same room.
I know.
It's so weird.
So we're here to talk about pitching today. I actually like pitching. I don't know about you guys. I mean, I hate it, but I love it at the same time.
I feel like you hate it, but love it at the same time because you're good at it. I hate it, and I hate it because I'm bad at it.
I love it, and I'm bad at it.
I was really bad at it to start, and then I guess practice makes perfect. I still get nervous when I do it, but I just did so many in like the end of 2019. I pitched it like the same thing at like 20 different places. And my body was just like, a certain point, like, you may not continue this level of adrenaline. Be calm.
I don't think I'm really that bad at it. I just like to be self-deprecating. I think I've gotten good at preparation and the practice and everything. And I think part of it is working in a writer's room, you're pitching every day.
There are many different parts to pitching. There are some parts that I think I'm okay at, but there are other parts where I'm definitely, well, let's just say lots of room for improvement. It just makes me feel a lot of dread whenever I know I have to pitch.
We split this in two, right? This is part one, and we're going to talk kind of the business of pitching, the business side of it. Next time we'll talk about the creative side of it and the nitty gritty of how to actually pitch.
You've probably done a lot of pitching, Erica, probably a lot more than us. When do you pitch? Why do you pitch? Who?
What is a pitch? Let's start with what is
a pitch. That's a good one.
Wow, we didn't even think about that. What is a pitch? A pitch is a verbal presentation of how you would write something. If you were to get hired for it or if you were to sell it. Specifically, it comes from the fact that the Writers Guild doesn't allow for free written work. So instead, we do a bunch of free work in coming up with a verbal pitch for something. And by Writers Guild rules, you are not supposed to leave anything behind. Like basically, they can ask you to pitch it as many times as they want. Like you can pitch to them and then to their bosses and then to their bosses' bosses. But like you're not supposed to give them written words because that would violate work laws.
Yeah. And one of the advantages to pitching versus giving them a document is it's a lot easier for them to poke holes in a document that they're reading and be taking notes as they go. Whereas when you're pitching, it's a little bit like you're just sort of taking them on a journey. Think of it like telling somebody about your favorite movie or something that you just saw. And, you know, that kind of takes the pressure off for one thing, but that's how you get excited about it.
For that reason, pitching becomes, for me at least, infinitely more complicated because it's not just my ability to tell a story. It's how I tell the story. It's how I present myself. It's how I read the room.
It is, in some ways, a separate skill. Like an actor is going to be a great pitcher. Pitching is like magic tricks. Being good at pitching is related to being a good writer, but it definitely does not mean you are a good writer if you're good at pitching. And vice versa. Like great writers who suck at pitching are all over the place.
We didn't come out to LA or start a writing career so that we could be performers. We are writers. We like to be, some of us, alone in a dark room, you know, in front of a laptop.
Okay, so that's what a pitch is. So like in terms of when it comes up, the last few pitches I've been doing, one of them was an OWA, an open writing assignment. Basically, producers had a movie they wanted to make and they didn't have a writer for it. So I put together a pitch of what my version of their idea would be. I also recently went out with a pitch that was wholly my own original idea. And so for that, it's like I'm trying to create a job instead of get a job. You have a meeting with someone, right? And they're like, I have this book, this idea, this whatever. And they tell you about it. You say, that sounds interesting. And then you do a take, which is usually, I think, a phone call. Like for the most part, a take's rarely done in person because a take is just like, this is what I'm thinking. And you might have a couple in your back pocket of like, my take is that we set this 500 years in the future. Oh, you don't like that. My take is that we set this 500 years in the past. And they're like, oh, I do like that, right? Do a pitch of that. And that's when you start doing, like, I actually usually end up doing the full work of a pitch in a take, but like, you shouldn't have to. I usually consider the take the highlights. If they're like, we want to do a new version of Cinderella. And you're like, I'd like to do a version of Cinderella, you know, with that's gender swapped and that takes place in this interesting era of time in Spain. they will know whether they want that. If they're not interested in gender swap Cinderella, or they don't want to do one in the past, then they'll be like, no, thank you. Right. But you won't have done a full pitch to them. You'll be like, these are the things that I want to do the most. Like, these are the highlights. Like, I remember doing one in which I wanted to, it was like based on a video game. And I was like, I want to do a story about sisters. And they're like, cool. No, thank you.
It's always difficult to know when you should take a pitch for something, because on one hand, the starving artist in you is like, I will take any job at any time and I will never turn anything down. But there are some times when it's simply, maybe you're just not the best voice to tell that story and you need to acknowledge that. So for example, I was recently approached to adapt a sci-fi book, and the book was really cool, but it was set in sort of like inner city Chicago with basically all the characters were African-American. I was like, I don't know if I, a little Asian who's never really spent any time in Chicago, should be the one to adapt this story. In that case, you know, it's a pass. So it's just sort of, you have to use your judgment and figure out if you are the right person to tell that story and to help these characters find their voices.
I recently passed on a pitch for similar reasons. I got approached about something with an actor that I really love, but in a world that I just... this doesn't really interest me. And I was just like, already not sure about it. And then I read what they had, and it was very much about the story of being a Chinese immigrant to America and who becomes a drug dealer. I was like, on all fronts, I don't think I'm your girl. But it is scary to turn down a pitch. And like, it is really something you want to consider, whether it's because you're not the right person to tell the story, or it's not actually worth your time, or if your reps do research and it turns out like they have actually gone through this project with 8 different writers and never made it past the treatment stage, like, yikes.
It might seem like doing a pitch is a lot less work than, I don't know, than writing a show, which is true, but it's still a ton of work. You'll definitely be sitting with it for a while because you have to flesh out the world, the characters, you have to pick out tone and themes. And once you've done all of that and figured out basically the world of your pitch, then you've already invested so much time into this. So you have to ask yourself, is this a world and a character and a land that I can sit with for a long period of time and still love by the end of it?
Right. And then if you get the job, then you're really stuck with it. Yes. Yeah. But if you're not passionate about doing a pitch for it, you're definitely not going to be passionate about actually writing the project, which you're going to live with for like 2 years. That's another reason to say no, if something really doesn't actually excite you.
So we've talked about types of pitches and when you pitch, but who might you be pitching to? Because that kind of ties into the type of pitch and what we're going to talk about later, which is how to prepare for that pitch.
I mean, you might be pitching to execs, like development execs, who are, you know, producers in their own way. Like when I did my original pitch, I did a round for producers first. Like I went to places I'd had general meetings or who I'd worked with or was currently working with on other projects. Like, so that was development execs and producers. And then once I got my producers, we then went and pitched to buyers, which is like basically the people with all the money, the studios into the networks and stuff like that. So those are a couple examples. You also, if you're trying to get people attached to the project, you might, like when I, for this one also, like it was a very casual pitch, but like I went out to coffee with the director that the producers like, and I basically pitched the idea to her over coffee and she got all excited.
Bringing people onto your project can be a really smart move. I had an original pitch that I wanted to take out, but being kind of a baby writer, I didn't know anybody and I didn't think anyone would take that meeting with me. So I approached my mentor, a writer who's at the co-EP level, and I pitched it to him and I asked if he wanted to come onto the project, and he agreed. And he's the reason why I got those meetings, because people knew him and knew his name and he had a good reputation. So there are many different ways to get into that room, and there are many different ways to go out and pitch, but you just have to figure out what works best for you and your situation.
So when you have producers involved, you pitch to them first and they say they want to help you take it out. They own the material that you're adapting. What then is their role?
If I do an original pitch to producers, they don't own that material. Like they are helping me sell it and then someone else will own it after that. If it's an open writing assignment, then they absolutely own the material. Like another project I did that I got hired for, they had worked with another writer and then they had to do what's called clearing the chain of title. Like they had to pay that writer for the work they'd done, that the writer had done, simply so they could be like, okay, so now you're done. And now we can work with Erica on something completely new.
Once you're working together, because then you're kind of a team, right? You're then going to take it out to the studio and take it to buyers because that's what they want. So what's their role, I guess?
So in my case, for the original idea, when I pitched it to them, they asked me what I wanted to do with it. That was step one of the process before we even officially were working together. And I was like, I want to attach a really cool female director, and then I want to sell it. And it was this really funny thing where the director, actually Maggie Levin, who we had on the show.
You might remember Maggie Levin from episode 11.
Maggie had had a meeting with them earlier that day, and we had both had like neon purple hair. And so they were like, I think that's your director.
Yeah.
So like they put us together and she was absolutely the perfect fit for the project. So like, so, you know, they had some notes and some feedback on my pitch on how to make it better. And they had Maggie put together a sizzle reel. So she worked with an editor and she created this amazing sizzle reel. And then it was their job to line us up at places and use, you know, their agents, their contacts to set us up where we might succeed. So they needed to figure out who actually had money and who would be interested in this. Like, we don't want to waste anyone's time if they're not going to make the kind of movie that we want to make. And then they kind of shaped our strategy as they went, like things that were landing in the pitch, things that weren't landing in the pitch based on the feedback we were getting. So we kind of shaped the pitch as we went. And then, and they just were also very honest when we did not end up selling this as an original pitch of, this is how far we can go like this. If, you know, here's what the next steps could be, but, you know, like until you have time to actually write it or whatever, then we have exhausted this path. So they were like the shepherds.
We just talked about the before, what happens before, and we're going to skip to the after. How do you wrap it up? They will probably have questions and hopefully it's something that you prepared for, because I've definitely been in a situation where I wrote up every question I could possibly think of. And then of course the one that I didn't think of was the one that they had and I didn't know how to answer it, but it's totally okay to say, you know what? I've been working on that too. I've been kind of wondering about that myself and haven't quite cracked it yet.
I found that if I'm pitching a series or something and they ask me a question that I don't know the answer to, I'll just say, you know, that's a really good question. And I look forward to finding that answer with my writer's room.
I love that so much.
I do too.
I always end with, and that's our movie. Because I feel like that's the wrap-up line. I'm like, mm-hmm. And that's our movie. That's, and then insert name of movie here. But like, you want them to have questions. You present the movie or the TV show. You're not going to be able to like answer every question about it in 15 to 20 minutes. What are the questions going to be? And you're going to have much more knowledge of the world you've presented than you actually put into the pitch.
So then how do you interpret their reactions? Like, how do you know if they liked it or not?
The one way that you can be definitely sure that they like it is that they buy it.
That's right? A good sign.
Yeah. Great sign.
I've never had it happen. The closest I've had is getting the text like an hour later being like, we're going to buy this. So that's as close to in the room as I've gotten. And some people are like, sometimes people do buy things in the room, which would be amazing.
By the way, in terms of how to wrap it up, if they have said we want to buy it, you don't have to keep going.
Yeah, just stop. Stop talking. It can only get worse from there if you keep talking. That's the only way to know for sure that you have succeeded is if they buy it in the room. And then there's also like, based on the questions they ask, a lot of times execs will feel like they have to ask questions. Like they're very going to really be like, nope, I have no questions. Goodbye. See you later. Like that's makes it seem like they're not really doing their jobs. So like, how do you know if something's a polite question versus a real question? So there's questions that move past the yes. I've definitely had a pitch in which they're like, cool. So how much money do you need was a question. I was like, ooh, how much money do we need is a great question. Or when you're making this and I know you have all the contacts for it, producers, not me, then, you know, who are you thinking of for DP or something like that? So like, that's something that like moves past the yes. And it actually doesn't mean that they will necessarily buy it because it just means they want to. Everyone's got a boss. And something I learned in this most recent pitch is like, you can absolutely have the people that you pitch to want to buy it and have them get shut down by their boss.
You know, if the executive likes it and wants to buy it, do they then set up another pitch for you to pitch to their boss? Or is it the producer's job to then sort of pitch it to them?
Actually, this has happened to me for jobs and stuff like that. If you pitch really well, a lot of times your reward is you get to do it again.
That happened to one of my friends. She had to pitch it 4 times at the same place. And they didn't buy it.
That happens. WJ has talked about ways to like maybe get producers to have to pay for pitches if you do it more than once. Or if it's like a cattle call, which means like a bunch of people are pitching on it. You have the right, by the way, to know how many people are pitching on a project for an OWA or whatever.
When do you ask, like in the initial call? Is that something that you would want to bring up?
Ideally, your reps would ask. You don't have reps then. Between the initial meeting and the take, you could be like, hey, I would like to know more about this project. How long have you had this IP for? Have you like had any other writers on this job? Are you going out to other writers with this pitch or is it just me? Do you want to hear from me or are you hearing from a bunch of people? And I think that we're scared to ask those questions, but they're actually like super normal questions to ask. And I think that should be more normalized.
How can you tell if like the question is basically they're looking for an excuse to say no?
Yeah, I recently had a pitch where the executive asked me sort of, I get why you care because the character was sort of very similar to me. And why should anyone who didn't have your upbringing care about this? And that threw me off. It was also the way it was asked was a little hostile. It caught me off guard. I didn't really know what to say. So I sort of just said, anyone can relate to it, whoever, you know, had a dream but has been just sort of ground down by the world.
I think it comes down to if they ask you something that shows that they didn't get the premise, something that basic, right? If their questions are just an intentional or unintentional misunderstanding of what you have just pitched, that then they're trying to put it in a box a certain way. Like, because I'm assuming whoever you are, your pitch is wonderful and perfect and everyone should buy it. But like, there's a couple of really obvious questions depending on your genre. As someone who's like pitched horror, it's like, so what would this be rated? That's a question we got a lot. And it wasn't necessarily a yes or no, but it's not a very interesting question. I think you can really tell a lot from the enthusiasm in someone's voice and their face. So if I have questions about how you've just described the plot of like The Matrix to me and I have questions. If I'm asking like, so like, they're everyone the computer? Like what? You know, like if it's like that kind of like, I don't get it. Like versus like, oh my God. So like Trinity and Neo were meant to be the whole time. Like, oh my God, the Oracle did what? You know, like you can kind of just tell whether they're engaged with the material based on the intelligence level of the questions and the enthusiasm behind them.
What are some of the dumbest questions you guys have gotten?
Pitch that I did recently was said, can you make the main character into a man?
No!
And I said, no.
Good answer.
That was the whole meeting.
Who are you again? That was my worst question after a pitch. It's so insulting.
I want to dig into that a bit. Why would he ask that question?
So this is actually a good example of you pitch well and you get to go to, it's like, you know, video games, like you get the bigger boss, right? So my friend was at a company and she had a book that she loved and I pitched on it and she would have bought it in the room if she could. So, but I had to come back and I had to pitch it to her boss. And because I know her and I know she's wonderful at her job, I know she provided him with all the information he could want about who I am. And so I came in and I pitched it to him. And when I was done, that's what he asked. So who are you again? And I was astonished, obviously. And then suddenly I'm pitching myself, which is something that you have to do all the time. And it obviously caught me off guard, but I can still explain to someone who I am and why they should listen to me. But it definitely undermined the whole pitch.
Yeah, it's quite condescending. There's a way to ask, if you really genuinely are like, okay, my assistant briefed me or my executive briefed me, but I don't remember. There's a way to ask that in like a smarter way.
Yeah, it's like, I want to know more about you.
Yeah.
Like, cool pitch, bro. I want to know more about you, you know?
Yeah,
like,
tell me about, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy was just an ass.
He was an ass.
The other thing is that pitching is, it's hard. You know, you're really putting yourself out there. You're doing this performance. It's very unnerving to just be the only one speaking for 15 to 20 minutes and like to expect everyone to listen to every word you're saying and to internalize what you've been working on for so long. And so that's why at the end of every pitch, I'm always completely drenched in sweat because it was such hard work. My body had like a physical reaction to it. Like, oh God.
I have found that like right after a pitch, I am just like, I have so much adrenaline. I don't even know what to do with myself. I like pace the house and I'm like, oh my God, I did it. I did it. And then like 20 minutes later through the rest of the day, I'm just like really depressed. There was also one time and that I got this job, but I pitched and my manager called me when I was stuck in traffic on the way home. And I was like, oh my God, I don't know how it went. I'm in such a weird place. Like I'm so depressed and upset. And she's like, but didn't you say you thought it went well? I'm like, I don't know anymore. And then I realized I hadn't eaten anything all day. But the pitch was like in the afternoon. And so like I didn't eat and then I was stuck in traffic and it was like 4 o'clock. And then like my manager called me the next day. She's like, are you okay? And I was like, yeah, it turns out I forgot to eat. She's like, cool, because you got the job. I was like, oh, okay. I guess I did do well.
I need to do something to snap me out of the pitch mode. I have to go for a walk. I have to have a drink. Occasionally I have to have 6 Popeyes biscuits. You know, it really varies.
So I had a pitch the other day and it was like at 11 a.m. That's a great time for me. My brain is on. The later it gets in the day, the later in the afternoon, I'm starting to fade. So it was like the right timing. But then I was like, well, I'm done and I do not want to do any work for the rest of the day.
No, that's real.
So I didn't.
That's self-care.
Yeah. The thing that I like to remind people, I feel like we talk about this all the time, is like after you do a pitch, I don't care if you bombed it or not, celebrate. Like you did it.
It's such a weird thing because you put so much work into it that, you know, if it's an OWA, at least you don't own the rights to it. And if they don't go for it, you just spend all this time on something and you don't really have anything to show for it, as opposed to I spent months writing a new spec or I wrote a feature and now I have a script. So it feels like you put all this work in and if the chances of it not working out are fairly high because there's just not a lot of development money out there. So what I tend to do is just sort of forget about it and not have any high hopes and not even think about it again. But I just sort of am like, well, I'm not going to think of that as that was all for nothing, because A, you met people at this company. If they liked your pitch, even if they didn't buy it, you now are going to be on a writer's list. They're going to maybe call you again for something that you would be right for. And it's all practice. It's all really good experience.
Your next pitch will only get better from the experience that you had on the one you're currently working on. And that's why it's so important to leave a good impression whenever you leave the room or the Zoom session or whatever medium you're pitching on, because you never know if you're going to work with these people again, and you don't want to give them the impression that you're going to be difficult to work with or maybe a little bit petulant, but like, oh, I didn't get the pitch, boo-hoo me. No, you want to be like, I'm a professional, you want to work with me again, I'm obviously talented, so give me a call when you think you have something for me.
And that was part of when I went with my original pitch is like, you know, I hoped someone would want to produce it, and then I hoped someone would want to buy it. But like, it was also a really cool thing. I was like, I want to remind people I exist with this really cool thing, even if they're not going to be able to make it. And we'll see if that pays off. I hope it does.
And part of leaving a good impression, I think, is it's twofold. One is just being enthusiastic and just be a happy presence, even if you're absolutely terrified and you hate everything that's happening, just smile. And then afterwards, you know, when we were talking about earlier about producers, the execs having questions, that is an opportunity for you to show how collaborative you are and that you're not just, oh, I spent all this time preparing, but now that's all I got. I want to go home. That is an opportunity for them to say, well, I really love that. What if we try something else? What do you think about incorporating this character from the book, for example, that you maybe didn't mention in your pitch? If you are reacting positively to that and being like, that is a great idea, I'd love to run with that. And just showing that you're a team player and you're somebody that they want to work with.
Say yes to everything you can say yes to. What if we wanted to tell this out of order? What if we wanted to, you know, lean into this other kind of theme or genre and be like, yes.
Yeah.
Just say it. It's a pitch, you know, like just say yes. It doesn't cost you anything, especially if you're pitching to a buyer and they're like, hey, this is a wonderful idea. We'd love to do it, but it occupies this space that overlaps with this. Like, what if there are no elves? And you're like, okay, cool. What if we do gnomes instead? You know, like whatever it is that you can kind of come up with to be like, to make sure that you're working with them, because you're not promising anything in that, you know, like maybe you do want it to be elves and you'll convince them that these elves are different than the other elves they're working with.
Pay attention to their questions in the meeting. What did they ask? What do they want to see? What would they want to do differently? I have a tendency to, after a meeting of any kind, but especially a pitch meeting, to just, yeah, I want to either go eat a snack or go drink something or do something else instead of sit in front of the computer. But I implore you guys, spend 5 minutes taking notes on everything you can possibly remember that they said, because it might be a while before you hear back about whether this project is happening. And they'll be like, okay, great, you're commenced, or we want to take the next step. You're going to want to be like, oh yeah, they did mention that they want to change the location and they want to incorporate, you know, a character from Africa. So don't forget that.
Such a good idea. I haven't done that, and I think I should start.
I just had to do that because I got called back about something 2 months after I pitched. And
whoa.
It was like, oh, wow. Good thing I wrote this down. I did not remember what they said they wanted.
Yeah, that can happen, guys. Like, in terms of timeline and next steps, like, ideally, you get that call during the room, or you get an hour later, or you get it the next day. And, like, it's true that a long wait is rarely good news, but things do come back around and you never quite know. It's great when you have reps because they can follow up for you and get answers for you. Or if you have producers, it's their job to hound whoever into making the thing. But it can take a while. Like, I feel like I usually get an answer like 3 to 10 days after I do a thing.
What I did recently was it was just an initial meeting where I pitched like a light version of my take, like just sort of the themes that I would want to talk about, the characters I identify, and did not hear back. I heard positive feedback that they liked me, but the next step was not for about 2 months later when they finally said, okay, we really like Hannah for this. Now we want to take it out to showrunners to try to get, because that's often what will happen, especially if you're a new writer or a younger writer. They know how to make a show.
They can be entrusted with millions of dollars.
And yes. That.
It was a show that I sold directly to the network. And so like, eventually they will need a showrunner. They will not trust me with millions of dollars.
You would use it very well.
Wisely.
Yeah, definitely. You know exactly what to do.
Exactly.
Where I'm at now, just to talk about the process a little bit, is now I'm writing up like a one sheet, which is rather than, it's sort of like a one page version of what I already pitched them, just to have like a document. And I'm assuming that the step after that will be a more full formal pitch once we start meeting with showrunners. But I don't really know. These are the
You're
questions.
Gonna find out. Report
these are
back.
The questions. That's why we're talking about this.
Going back to something that we were saying about the pitch and how, like, when it's over, you know, if you're pitching on an OWA, then you're done with that, right? Like, if you don't get the job, you're done. But everything that made the idea yours, you get to keep and you can recycle, right? Like that video game with the sisters, like I could just rent that movie, you know, and just not have it be about that video game. But if I want to tell a story about sisters and all that work I did, it doesn't necessarily go to waste. And if it's an original pitch that you don't sell, you can still, no one's going to stop me from writing that screenplay. I can still do it. If I believe in this project enough, I can write the script and try again. You get a lot out of pitches. Like, you get the experience, but you're working on your skills at structure. You're working on your ways to make some, your voice, you know, like how to make it your own and how to take anything and make it into Hannah's project or Jess's project or Erica's project.
Pitch is a really good way of figuring out for yourself how to distill the project down to sort of its core principles, like figuring out what this show really is about, what this character really wants. And just having that in your head is so helpful when you sit down to write the script.
That's a really good point. You've kind of already done a lot of the work. If you actually get the job and you start writing the script or creating the show, you've already done a lot of the most important work, I think, which is, yeah, who is my main character and what do they want?
What's
the structure?
Yeah,
absolutely.
The overview?
Do you ever get paid to do a pitch? Do you ever get hired and paid money to do a pitch?
I don't think that's currently a thing. I think it should be a thing. I think if you have to pitch more than once, I think if they are spending a lot of your time, like one of you said that you did like four rounds of something, right?
A friend of mine did four rounds.
That's free work. You should get paid for having to do that. And it would also cut down on producers asking for unnecessary pitches for projects they're never going to fund.
The only time I've ever heard of people getting paid to do pitches is writers who have overall deals.
Must be nice.
Yeah, I don't
think so nice.
We'll come back to you all when we have overall deals.
We'll take like the scraps. Like if there was just like a little tiny slush fund that companies had to pay writers just to do pitches, they might get better pitches. I don't know.
In case you don't know what an overall deal is, it's basically when a studio or a production company basically hires a writer and pays them an annual salary.
Can't wait until one of us has an overall deal and then they're buying lunch.
This is just like when you're wrapping up a pitch, when you feel like you've done enough and you've done good work, just bow out gracefully.
This is how I do it. You ready? And that's it. That's the Untitled Female Driven Podcast, first part of the episode about pitching.
Woohoo!
Boom.
So thank you for listening. As always, you can email us at untitledfemaledrivenpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter. We are at @untitledfemale. And if you feel like leaving us a nice rating and a nice review on Apple Podcasts, that would be amazing. If you feel like leaving a mean review, maybe don't do that. Bye, guys.
Bye.